a should or a shouldn't, is a bridge for this polarity to cross over. And as the I know mind is educated, it dissolves into the polarity of wisdom. What's left is absolutely sane, undivided, and free. Of course, all this is just a metaphor, since there is only one mind. The bottom line is that when the mind is closed, the heart is closed. When the mind is open, the heart is open. So if you want to open your heart, question your thinking. Inquiry always leaves you with less of a story. Who would you be without your story? You never know until you inquire. There is no story that is you or that leads to you. Every story leads away from you. You are what exists before all stories. You are what remains when the story is understood. Life on the other side of inquiry is so simple and obvious that it can't be imagined beforehand. Everything is seen to be perfect, just the way it is. Hope and faith aren't needed in this place. Earth turned out to be the heaven I was longing for. There's such abundance here. Now, always. There's a table. There's a floor. There's a rug on the floor. There's a window. There's a sky. A sky. I could go on and on celebrating the world I live in. It would take a lifetime to describe this moment, this now, which doesn't even exist except as my story. And isn't it fine? The wonderful thing about knowing who you are is that you're always in a state of grace, a state of gratitude for the abundance of the apparent world. I overflow with the splendor, the generosity of it all, and I didn't do anything for it but notice. The litmus test for self-realization is a constant state of gratitude. This gratitude is not something you can look for or find. It comes from another direction, and it takes you over completely. It's so vast that it can't be dimmed or overlaid. The short version would be mind in love with itself. It's the total acceptance and consumption of itself reflected back at the same moment in the central place that is like fusion. When you live your life from that place of gratitude, you've come home.
The master observes the world, but trusts her inner vision.
The master observes the colors of the world, its sounds, flavors, and thoughts. Since they are all reflections of mind, and her realization of that is precise and indisputable, she is never fooled. What has no beginning can't have an end. She understands that what is unfathomably good gives birth to it all. That's what she trusts. There is no inside or outside. It's all appearing in the delighted eternity of her own mind. She watches things as they come and go. The nature of things is to come and go, with or without her permission, so why not enjoy the show? It's all so beautiful. Without something, what fun is it to be nothing?
Love the world as yourself. Then you can care for all things.
When you're a lover of what is, it's obvious that the world is your own face in the mirror. But how do you become a lover of what is? The how has been a mystery till now. Now it's clear that all you need to do is investigate your stressful thoughts. The four questions and turnaround of the work will take you as deep as you want to go. People think they need to get enlightened in order to be free, and no one knows what enlightenment is. Yes, it's in the sacred text, and yes, this guru or that lama says he has attained it, but that's just a concept. It's the story of a past. The truth is that there's no such thing as enlightenment. No one is permanently enlightened. That would be the story of a future. There's only enlightenment in the moment. Do you believe a stressful thought? Then you're confused. Do you realize that thought isn't true? Then you're enlightened to it. It's as simple as that. And then the next thought comes, and maybe you're enlightened to it as well. And maybe not. I have found that there are no new stressful thoughts. They're all recycled. People try to let go of their thoughts. That's like telling your child you don't want her and kicking her out onto the street. I used to go out into the desert to get away from the world, and I took the whole world with me in my head, every concept that had ever been experienced. I was undoing the thoughts that run through the mind of every human being. Thoughts are no more individual than the television program that everyone watches. I have found that all over the world, in every language and culture, people suffer because they believe the same stressful thoughts. My mother doesn't love me. I'm not good enough. I'm fat. I need more money. My husband should understand me. My wife shouldn't have left me. The world needs to be saved. Of course, I would never ask people not to believe their thoughts. Not only would that be unkind, it isn't possible for people not to believe what they believe. We can't help believing our thoughts until we question them. That's the way of it. People used to ask me if I was enlightened, and I would say, I don't know anything about that. I'm just someone who knows the difference between what hurts and what doesn't. I'm someone who wants only what is. To meet as a friend each concept that arose turned out to be my freedom.
Seamless, unnameable, it returns to the realm of nothing.
Ultimately, what is real can't be seen or heard or thought or grasped. You're just seeing your own eyes, hearing your own ears, reacting to the world of your own imagination. It's all created by your mind in the first place. You name it, you create it, you give it meaning upon meaning upon meaning. You add the what to reality, then you add the why. It's all you. The original is wiped out in the wave of the new, which is already old. Thought deletes anything outside itself. Mind is so powerful that it could take the imagined fit.